Thanks for watching today at wildwoodchurch.com. Now here's today's message.
Good morning, Wildwood. Turn your Bibles, please, to Nehemiah 8:8. Nehemiah 8:8. And while you're turning there, listen to this quote from 18th century pastor Samuel Davies. He says, "If you love your children, consider family religion or family worship not merely as a duty imposed by authority, but as your greatest privilege granted by divine grace." Folks, this is not so much an obligation. We are not presenting a new law by which you are to abide, but rather I am revealing to you an opportunity, a privilege that you get in your home to transfer your faith down to the next generation. It is a responsibility, yes, but it's a responsibility rooted in the finished work of Christ on the cross. It is an overflow of what God is doing in your heart. We have heard from many people over the last several weeks. Many are afraid. They don't want to mess it up. I get it. But folks, we are asking you to pour out of your own heart from the overflow of your time with Jesus to lead your wife and your children, your grandchildren. But how do we do this? A consistent time together to read, pray, sing. Can you say that with me? Read, pray, sing. It really is that simple. Let the Lord do the work in your home. Through consistent, prayerful, and grateful exposure to His Word. Listen, if you get nothing else out of this sermon series, get this. You cannot force sanctification, but you can facilitate it. You cannot force sanctification, but you can facilitate it. And that is what you are doing every single time you open the Word to read, you pray, and you sing in your home. You are facilitating sanctification in your home. Let's read Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. Let's stand and read. It's a very short verse this morning for us. By the way, you see the chairs behind me. Those aren't an accident. I'm going to preach for about another 13 minutes, and then we're going to have the panelists that I've invited or that volunteered to join me on stage, and we're going to talk about what it looks like in their homes. We have people from every age and stage of life, or just about, and we're going to ask them several questions about what family worship looks like in their life. So if I seem rushed, I am a little bit rushed this morning. But let's read Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. It says, "They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your word. Lord, you have revealed yourself to us. You have invited us to pass the faith, the word of God, the things that you have done, the way that you have shown yourself faithful and good and true from one generation to another generation. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to be deliberate in that and diligent in that as you have commanded us to. I pray, Jesus, that you would be glorified, not only in the gathering together of your church, but also in the gathering together of families that make up this church on a regular basis. Would you be glorified? And Father, I pray for the Samagara in India. Lord, they do not know Jesus. I pray that you would send out workers into the harvest. They would have a heart for these people to learn the language, to translate the gospel into their language, and to preach the gospel in their language, Lord, so that you would be worshiped by people from that tribe, that tongue, that nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So I selected Nehemiah 8:8 specifically because it is the verse that inspires my ministry. In fact, just beneath the carpet right here in this spot, I wrote in Sharpie Nehemiah 8:8. Because I believe this is the task of spiritual leaders, is to read the Word of God clearly and to give the sense so that the people understand what it means and how it applies. And this is my task as the preaching pastor and everyone else, every elder, every other speaker that stands in this pulpit, their task is to preach the Word, to teach it clearly, and to give the sense so that everyone understands. And likewise, heads of households, that is your responsibility in your home, to read the Word clearly, to give the sense so that everyone understands. What I want you to do is I want you to sit down with a good study Bible. Many of you are intimidated at the thought of opening the Bible and reading it and making sense of it. And truthfully, some of you need some help, and that's okay. But like anything else, with practice makes progress. And in fact, that's what Paul tells elders. Let them see your progress. If the standard for elders is not perfection, then how can the standard be for heads of households perfection? It's not perfection, it's progress. So what you do is you get a good study Bible. I recommend the ESV study Bible. I believe we have some available here in the Fireside Room, if not in our resource center, but we absolutely have it available in our online bookstore, the ESV study Bible. None of you are theology professors, I don't think. We don't have any seminaries close to here. So I don't think you're theology professors, so don't act like one. Don't pretend to be one. Don't sit down with your family and try to make it seem like you are. If you get stumped, go to your notes. I have to do this at least once a week. I don't know what that means. Let's look at our notes. Men, do that. ESV Study Bible, look at the notes when you're stumped. The key, again, is not perfection. The key is consistency. Jesus believed that the Word of God was essential to life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Word of God is essential to life? Listen to what Jesus said about the Word of God when he's 40 days fasting in the wilderness and the enemy says, turn the stones into bread. What does he say? He says, it is written, he quotes scripture, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the very word that comes from the mouth of God. Do you believe that the Word of God is essential for life? Yes. Then read it in your home, and read it over your wife, and read it over your children, and read it over your grandchildren. It is essential. If you need resources, do not be ashamed that you need resources. Go to the Fireside Room. Pick up the resources that we have curated for you. We have devotionals. We have doctrine in the form of daily devotionals. Wonderful resources right out here. Scan a QR code, pay for it, walk out the door. You just gotta jump into this. I understand you may be intimidated. I get it. Start where you are, make progress. Second one, pray. The Apostle Paul tells us that prayer helps missionaries on the mission field. I want you to think about this. We saw this in action a few months ago. We prayed for a missionary couple, I believe in Thailand. They were coming up to the one-year anniversary of their loss of their child. And we knew that they were going to be discouraged. And we prayed, Lord, would you encourage this family? And the very day that we prayed, they got word that a man that they had been trying to reach with the gospel came to know Jesus. Amen. I want you to imagine what it's like to be in a foreign environment and you are pouring all of yourself into teaching the gospel to people who don't know Jesus, an unreached people group. And for a person to accept Christ, give his life to the Lord, that is hugely encouraging. We prayed that the Lord would encourage our missionaries, and he did that. We believe that prayer makes a difference. Amen? Amen. We pray for our missionaries. Jesus told us in Luke chapter 11 to pray shamelessly bold prayers. Let God sort it out. You come to the Lord praying shamelessly bold prayers, presenting what you think you need. Let him sort it out. Trust him to deliver. You don't have to worry that you're going to ask for something that God doesn't want to give you. You can just come to the Lord praying shamelessly bold prayers in the name of Jesus to be used for his glory, and trust him to answer those prayers according to his will. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:7 to cast our anxieties upon the Lord, for he cares for us. We believe that prayer makes a difference in our homes. In our home, in my home, we pray for one church family and for one Wildwood-supported missionary each day. I hope that that blesses you to know that we are praying over you, that my kids, that I said one church family, I'm sorry, we pray for five church families. Each one of us takes a church family from the directory, and then one of the kids takes a supported missionary, and we lift you to the throne of God on a daily basis. We believe that the Lord works through prayer. And a lot of times we don't know what you're going through, but we trust that the Lord does. And it is the sweetest thing to hear my children praying, if they're going through anything hard, Lord, would you be with them? Would you help them stay connected to the church? This is the heart of my children. Would you help them stay connected to the church? If they're going through anything hard, would you help them? Would you be with them? After prayer, we sing. Now, I want to spend the rest of my time, because this is probably the least developed of these concepts. You all know that you ought to read the word and you ought to pray, but why should you sing in your home? And that's probably going to be the thing that makes you most uncomfortable, is singing. It was kind of the last step for Kelly and I and our family. But let me tell you that singing out loud has a couple of obvious benefits. Number one, Google search singing out loud releases happy hormones. It does. Did you know that, Andrew? Singing out loud releases endorphins, serotonins, dopamines. It releases the happy hormones. It also aids in memory. How did you learn the alphabet? You sang the ABCs. You sang it. Now, beyond these obvious benefits, worship is warfare. And this is where I want to spend the rest of my time. I've just got a few more minutes. But worship is warfare. I want you to think about soldiers marching in battle. They march to songs. Songs that not only keep them in step, but also evoke patriotism and loyalty to the cause. This is why soldiers on every unit run, every time the unit comes together and runs, we sing. We sing cadences. Again, not only does it keep us in step so we're not stepping on the man in front of us, but it also ingrains the culture and the values. Now, obviously, no soldier wants to die for his country. However, cadences like the one that you're about to hear ingrains into our hearts and shapes our hearts so that if we are called to, we willingly lay down our lives for our nation. Give this a listen.
Stand up for God, shuffle to the door, stand up for God.
Every soldier in the United States Army knows that cadence. We can pause it. We can go ahead. Thank you. Reclaiming my time. Every soldier in the United States Army knows that cadence. We normalize what is absolutely unnormal. Mission unspoken, destination unknown. Don't even know if I'm ever coming home. We understand that as much, none of us wants to die for our country, but every soldier in the United States Army, I'm sure Marine Corps and Air Force and Navy, every one of us knows that it's perfectly legitimate for the United States government to say, get on a plane and you don't know if you're coming back. And how do we shape the hearts of soldiers to say, that's normal? Through songs just like that. Through cadences just like that. Perhaps you are familiar with another cadence. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Or how about this one? Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones, all dominions, all powers, all positions. Your name stands above them all. Or maybe this one. Who is the great King of glory seated on high in the heavens? Jesus, you alone. These songs not only condition your family's hearts in the faith to live wholly for Christ. Right now it's quaint. I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. The cross before me, the world behind me, that's quaint right now. But let me tell you, when the United States government makes it illegal and unlawful for you to gather with the church and to bear the name of Jesus, then all of a sudden that song, that hymn will mean something to you. But if you wait until that moment, it's too late. Not only does it condition our hearts to normalize what is absolutely unnormal, dying for a cause, to remain faithful and loyal to Jesus like good soldiers, but we are also proclaiming into the spiritual realm the name of Jesus. That this domain, this ground, is holy, sacred ground. It belongs to Christ. My dining room, my living room, my kitchen, my bedrooms, my property belongs to Jesus. It's His domain. We are singing, we are declaring, we are proclaiming into the heavenlies, Jesus Christ reigns above all powers and all thrones and all dominions. It is warfare. Worship belongs in your home and on your lips every single day. Folks, that's it. Read, sing, pray. Or read, pray, sing, or sing, read, pray. Just do these things. Keep it simple, keep it short. 15 minutes is what you should be shooting for. 15 minutes. You should be under 15 minutes in this. Dads, transfer your faith from one generation to the other out of the overflow of your heart. Transfer it. Moms, support your husbands. Come alongside. Boost him up. Speak honor and respect language to him. Thank you for doing this. I believe that you can do this. You did great today. I know that you feel like a failure. I don't care. You're starting. You're doing this. I'm proud of you. Single moms, stand in the gap. Do this yourself. Jesus is worthy. Start where you are. Let the Lord do his work. Amen? Amen. Panelists, please come forward. How about a round of applause as you people step out of their comfort zone? I ask folks of all ages and stages of life, we have singles, we have single parents, we have widows, we have couples with young kids, with are we short one chair? I thought we had some more. Nope, Kelly, that does not mean that you get to hop down. Sorry about that, we didn't do our math right. I didn't do our math. At any rate, so we've got folks from all ages and stages of life ready to encourage you. So I sent them some questions in advance, and I've asked them to share from their hearts. So let's just get rolling with it. Can you share with us a particular joy in leading family worship? What stands out as a highlight? How have you seen it work in your home?
One of the joys that I've seen, especially with Noah and having kind of a difficulty communicating, is there was one time where he actually on his tablet controlled the TV and started singing praise songs, because there's a lot of times I don't know how God is ever working on his heart, yeah. And to physically see that tells me that I'm doing something right.
Yeah, so. That's right, he's transferring, that's right. We don't have to go down the line, but go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I think a particular joy for me is as we've been more consistent in doing this, just seeing my kids participate in it, getting more than just one-word answers from them. They're actually thinking about the things that I'm reading and teaching them, so that's been an encouragement.
And Jeff and Shay, how old are your kids?
7, 9, and 11. I need to think about that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, it was watching Jeff become a stronger leader. As he got more confident just in leading devotions, then I watched him be more confident in just leading our family. And yeah. Because he was bathing us in the gospel, I was able to trust him and step back and not be taking the reins so much.
Yeah. And how long would you say that you guys have been doing this?
2 years consistently, okay. But you know, it's like every other discipline. Absolutely. It was definitely stand up, fall down, stand up, fall down.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll go next. So one of the particular joys for me as a parent of two teenagers and a 10-year-old is that opening the word and singing and praying out loud is now a normal thing in our home. So what used to not be normal is now normal, and just praise God for that.
Amen.
I might come at this from a little bit of a different perspective. Looking back in time, we raised our children doing family devotions, singing, praying, catechizing them. And a standout moment is I have a daughter who is currently really not walking with the Lord, and this is going to sound strange to you. She's living with her fiance, and they have two children together. And yet, having grown up with devotions, she is doing a form of family devotions with her 3-year-old daughter. Yeah. And prays with her. They sing together. She reads a story to her, and the ways of the Lord are mysterious, yes. For sure. And another one to just encourage parents to do this is we got a call from our daughter when she was in college thanking us for catechizing, and it just was a simple, a very small children's catechism, very simple, even for 2 and 3 year olds. Who made you? God. Yeah. What else did God make? God made all things. Yeah. And why did God make you and all things? For his glory. I can still hear my little kids, you know, saying that. And she thanked us for catechizing them because she was able, actually she was well equipped in apologetics to deal with questions, objections, the hard things that don't make sense to unbelievers, especially those who are really struggling. So those are some of my standout moments. Yeah.
Thank you, Lori.
I would say that, how do I say it? Okay, so the biggest standout moment actually was a couple of years ago, the first time my daughter has seen me struggle through some things. And when I was having a particularly difficult day, she came up to me and she said, "It's okay, Mom, let's pray about this." This was when she was 4. So that was just, and she does that now when she sees that I struggle. She sees that, she sees that vulnerability and seeing that in her. And
yeah, thank you, Kristen.
So I'll answer with, okay. Yeah. So me and my sister, we live together. I guess like one of the joys is getting to work, you know, together on like our devotions, and we love to sing together, you know, all the songs. Learning new songs is really fun, and praying together and going through kind of the same stage in life together has been a blessing. And like our struggles, we talk about them, and it's just, that's the joy, is like us working together on that.
Yeah, I was just going to add on and say that we have grown really close by doing our, like we each have our own individual time with God, but then we have time together as well, especially after this study. We started reading God's word together and getting meaning from each other. And so it's been nice getting closer to each other and becoming, we're able to be open with each other a lot more, which has been a blessing.
Amen.
I think something that really resonates with me is the word knitted. And when I have my worship time with my lovely wife, how our hearts are knitted together. I just love that term of me holding her hand and going through the scriptures. And it's just an encouragement to me and to do that together. And one of my favorite coaches is Tom Landry, which used to be of the Dallas Cowboys, but he once said, a football coach's job is to make men do what they don't want to do so they can achieve to be what they wanted to be. And I feel that in the Christian life as well, is sometimes it's not, doesn't feel natural to do what we're doing, but if we do that, the end result is we're going to achieve to have a closer walk with Jesus and a personal relationship with him.
Amen. Well, we'll start with you back there at the, Ted, at the end there. What is a particular struggle in your stage of life that you face with family worship?
Well, surprise, we have no children at home, but our struggle is busyness, which I think a lot of us probably can resonate with that, but we have tried to cut out a time where between 5 and 9 to do our family devotion time, and that's worked out really well.
But sometime in that 4-hour period, right?
Yes.
Not
4 hours. Okay. No, I am not. The 15 minutes you said is right on.
All
yes.
Right,
and I do want to encourage people that, yeah, start out with 15 minutes if whatever you got to do to be try and be successful.
Yep.
Because we're, none of us up here are perfect on that.
Thank you.
So a struggle that I had, because before Chrissy and I started, you know, reading God's word together, like my own individual time with God, it was hard for me to stick with it because I didn't have anybody to like be like, hey, we're doing this today. It was just me. So that was a struggle. And I mean, thankfully, now I do have that accountability partner. But before, it was hard to like stick with the schedule and do it every day. And, you know, that was a lot of time praying that God gave me strength and desire to be with him and make time for him.
So I just heard what you said. I want to make sure people pick up on this. She said, it was hard for me to have my own personal quiet time, be consistent in that. And I think that many of you can relate to that. You resonate. You want to have a personal time with the Lord, but it's a discipline that you find a hard time being consistent in. And she just said, with accountability, that got easier. And I will tell you, that is a great effect. It's a side effect of family worship, especially for fathers, husbands. I feel strange on the off occasion that I'm leading family worship before I'm spending time with the Lord. It happens occasionally, and I feel strange. There's something off about that because I know it has to be it ought to be an overflow of my heart. And so this helps me, and I think would help you maintain a regular time with the Lord. We just said that the Word of God is essential for life. Amen? Amen. All right. This is a way to help you put teeth to that conviction. All right. Thank you.
We kind of work together on some of these, so it's like both of our struggles. Right now, I guess recently, the biggest struggle in my stage in life is we've had to make recently some major life decisions of what we want for us. And it's been, you know, difficult trusting God in the process, but we both prayed over it together, and that was very, you know, helpful. And it's just, again, having that accountability partner is important. Also, just like the pressure of society and saying, like, at your age in life, this is when you figure everything out. Mm-hmm. And it's been, you know, again, something that it's overwhelming all the time. But, you know, praying and having those devotions, you know, we get to, you know, cry out to God and say, what do we do? And, you know, both of us coming together and like having the same answer, it just shows that God's working in our life.
So mine was that, mine still tends to sometimes be that I didn't plan this. I didn't plan to be a single mom. I didn't plan to be a widow. And so I also had that imposter syndrome of, am I close enough to God to be the leader of my family? Do I walk where I should? And I had Satan telling me that, but I also had the Holy Spirit convicting me of that. Like, you need to step up. So, my stubbornness kind of fought with my,
The struggle as a not young widow, but not an older widow, is I'm still working full-time. We work 10-hour days. I have a decent-sized home and property, so finding time to just fit in devotions, because very often I come home from work and then it's like outside to do whatever needs to be done or take care of what's inside the home, and I might go to find Michael and he's already asleep. and early, or he'll come looking for me and I'm asleep early, because we're just worn out. And honestly, for 2 years, we just struggled. Grief, exhaustion, all of it just, I think, wiped me out. Michael was devastated. We had a diagnosis of a son with a brain tumor a year after my husband passed. So it's just been a lot of stuff. And I'm still trying to figure out how to come up with the perfect time, because we're both next to brain dead first thing in the morning. We get up already at 4:30, and so going earlier is not a great solution for us. Sure. And I'm actually looking at Audible to see if I can find something that is worthy to listen to on our way to or from work, because we have about a half an hour almost each way.
I think it's a wonderful time to redeem that 30-minute commute. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to have to somehow multitask and figure out a way to do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Bible app, will read the Bible for you. You can listen to the Bible. And so redeeming a commute time it would be a great thing, at least a great start for sure.
I was just going to say that one of the struggles that we found is like when our schedule is not consistent, yeah. Our family schedule, like whether it's summer break or Christmas break, we can go weeks without connecting as a family over family worship. And I think we begin to see how that impacts our relationships. And so I think that's in our stage of life with older children. And
yeah, they want to sleep in during the summer.
So it's just figuring out and being creative when to find that time.
Yeah.
You know, our struggle was easy to identify with two teenagers and a 10-year-old. The amount of activities outside the home just get very hard to manage. And so, and our family worship time was always tied to family dinner. And so family dinner would often go away during basketball season especially, and therefore family worship was a struggle to fit in.
Before bed, and if schedule is not consistent, then sometimes it goes to the wayside. But I think you got to give yourself some grace and not treat it like 100% perfection.
Yeah,
it's progress, like Pastor Brian said.
Consistency.
Yeah.
Is key.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know part of my struggle is that kind of that self-accountability. And consistency, because there's a lot of times where my work schedule ends up being working 36 hours straight or something, and then I've not seen him. Now, as of late, I've had him full time, so it's crazy how much that has actually improved, having him full time, and the nighttime routines with prayers and throwing worship songs while he's in a tub on, and he's kicking and screaming and he laughing and having a good time. So
yeah.
It's definitely. Something that's helped, but
sure,
yeah.
So. Well, you know, this is not unlike. I mean, what we're talking about here, what's consistent is time management, mm-hmm. Right? It's time stewardship, and it's not unlike financial stewardship. When Kelly and I first got married, I've told this story before. We spent our last two pennies to do laundry, and we looked at each other and we said, "What is going on?" And it hit us immediately. We're not being faithful with our money. The next month, we tithed, so we gave 10% of our money away and had some left over the next month. God's math is not our math. And I think it works not only with our money, but also with our time. I believe that the Lord honors your investment, and you want to take this step. I believe that the Lord he has a way of helping you line out your priorities. And not only do you give the 15 minutes, but in some strange way, you're getting back so much more. So how do you overcome that obstacle, the obstacle that you've described? How do you overcome it? And maybe we'll roll that question in with the last one, which is, what advice would you give to someone that's reluctant to start family worship, or who started and got frustrated and gave up?
My biggest thing was the first thing I do when I wake up is tell myself, God, get in my head before I get in mine.
Yeah.
And then it was probably about 8-9 months ago, I took 30 days and listened to only worship music, nothing yeah. else. And it was a change of mindset, and I feel him definitely working a lot more in my life than Amen. He has in the past. So,
yeah.
But yeah,
that's awesome.
I would say we overcame it. We went through many resources, just start and stop. And I think you got to find the resource that works for you. We use this biggest storybook family devotional. Goes through the main stories of the Bible and just kind of breaks it down. So each story will last you about a week. And it has a video in it that my youngest loves, you know, starting watching that video each week. But this has really helped us be consistent, and the kids love it, so it works for us.
I would say for those who are waiting for your husband to start, and you're kind of hesitant, I would say just as a helpmate, just work on your relationship with Christ and make sure you're having devotions. Moms can lead so much of the atmosphere in the house.
Yes.
And be praying over your husband. I've seen mountains moved just praying over him that he would desire to be a spiritual leader. And when he is leading, I step out. That's his time to talk. My time to talk to the kids is in the car when they're having squabbles, during all our daily life. That's my time to minister to him, my kids. His time is when we're doing family devotions, and I stay pretty quiet.
I was going to answer the second one. I think that if you're struggling to get started or you haven't done it yet, to just start it, because we didn't have a clue. We didn't, grow up doing this or anything. And it was Pastor Brian's sermon 4 years ago, so we just thought we'd start it. And Aaron did great. I mean, he's grown a lot, like you were saying, Shay, that getting more comfortable, but so have our kids. At first, a couple kids or one kid would hardly sing, and now everybody really belts it out. The same with the Bible discussion. It's deeper. Nobody ever doesn't want to do it or doesn't express that. And the conversation is always getting deeper as they're growing. And it's so special, I think, as a mom, it's different parts of family worship, but even the singing at the end is so impactful when we're just all sitting around singing in our home, like Pastor Brian was saying, like kind of claiming that in our own house. And then one more thing, when we had first started, our oldest son was 10 or 12, and when we got done, we were just kind of cleaning up dinner, and he said something to the effect, like, when I lead family worship, we don't remember what he said after that, because we were both like, high five, because it was like 2 weeks into it, and we thought, like, wow, he's already planning on doing this one day. And so we take a lot of great encouragement, even after a few years of that this really does matter and is going to shape our family and in future.
Amen.
In the future.
I think as far as overcoming our struggles of scheduling it, it's still a work in progress. We're not there. But I think just being intentional, a little more focused, and it's on me. I'm gonna make that happen this fall when basketball season comes up.
Amen.
Make it a priority.
You heard it here, folks.
Hold me to it.
Well, I think I mentioned multitasking, or at least in our case, trying to take advantage of our commute. But as far as an encouragement, again, looking back at life, I would encourage you to just step out in faith and do it, and just trust the Lord for the results, and knowing that He will
Yes.
use it in the lives of your family and your children, and very possibly in your grandchildren.
Yes.
I'm starting to watch the benefit of the years spent doing that come to fruition. And we did sing as well, and I remember driving my husband to his heart surgery, and he all of a sudden just starts belting out, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms of Jesus." That's just what came to his mind as he's contemplating going into surgery. And it's such a blessing to hear my kids, I've got six of them, talk about, "Hey, remember that time in family devotions, blah, blah, blah." So they have lasting memories too. And I guess I would just say, just do it.
Amen.
Prayer, lots and lots of prayer, and like Aaron said, live with intention, and not like intentions of doing it, but do things purposefully. Wow. With any habit, I mean, God gives us grace. He doesn't want it to be legalistic, but with anything, you have to practice. You have to just do it. You have to just repeat it, and then your kids are going to start holding you accountable. I know mine's only six right now, but she's like, "Mom, what's next? What's next in the book?" And so we're using the Radical Kids book. She loves those. They're a bit older for her, but I'm learning from them, which is pretty cool. And then I really had to dig into my own. I had to set the alarm. I don't anymore. I wake up
on my own, but I have to get up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock and spend that time with God, just me and him before my daughter is awake. And then let her see that throughout the day. And I will say, God will affirm you. God will absolutely, the more you do it, he will send you signs, I guess, but he will let you know that you're doing the right thing and that you are on the right track. And even if it's through your child singing or your child praying,
I guess about overcoming, you know, the issue of not trusting God, again, like Lizzie said, having an accountability partner, we're very good about like, hey, like, if you're worried about that, we got to pray, you know, and we just, that's a huge burden off of everything is having her and in my life. And then I guess the advice, as someone who grew up in a house where we would start family worship, drop off, start, drop off, because my dad didn't feel like he knew how to do family worship. As a child, it was very confusing. And then in my later years, created bad habits where I would start my daily devotions, drop off, start, drop off. And with that, you know, I never, even though I love my parents, I never felt like I could trust them with my faith because, you know, like we didn't have that foundation of family worship and like building trust and having that connection where I felt like I could talk to them about these things. So I guess my advice would be that, you know, it'll be very beneficial for you and your family to start because no matter how you do it, it's going to bring glory to God.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. I was going to add on to the obstacle, finding that accountability. Like even if you don't have a sister or anybody else in your home, before Chrissy was saved, I found somebody in the church that I would go to and just be open with her, and that she kept me, you know, on the right track and helped point me back to God. So anywhere you can find it, even if it's not in your own home, it is worth finding that partner.
As far as overcoming the obstacle for us, it's obviously still a work in progress, but back when we had young children, I remember my mentor saying when I struggled with a quiet time, you have to desperately elbow out the time. And so,
can you say that again? Desperately?
Desperately elbow out the time.
Ah.
So I always hear those words in my brain, and you do. You need to just make it a priority. And, you know, like I said, it's a work in progress because of our schedule. We know what busy is. We had 4 children, very active in sports. So we know what busy is, and even though we're empty nesters now, it's a different busy, but it's still busy. Now we have 7 grandkids. So there's never going to be a perfect time. So you just need to do it. You just need to you know, submit to God and just elbow out that time to spend with your family.
I'll just finish with a story. Our oldest son was 8 years old and he was riding his bike by our driveway, and his front wheel caught the curb and it twisted it, and the handbrake went up into his groin, and it just missed the artery, but there was quite a bit of blood. Diane called me home, got him into the front seat, put that car into reverse, and before I could get it into forward, this little hand of my 8-year-old says, "Dad, we need to pray." And so I really want to encourage you that sometimes you may be doing this and feeling like nothing's making a difference, but it is. You're speaking Amen. To your kids' hearts one way Amen. Or the other.
Amen. How about a round of applause for our panelists this morning? Thank you very much. You guys can make your way off. I just want to briefly recap several resources you heard about catechizing. Catechism has been a tried and true method of passing down knowledge to younger generations for centuries. And one particular catechism that we use is called New City Catechism. It's a question and response, question, response. And so you could find that on our online bookstore. Also, you have the song sheets here so that no one has an excuse to not have something to start with in your home. Please take those home with you. And if you have nothing else to sing, if you can't get YouTube to work on your TV or phone, if you don't have any songs memorized, you have a song sheet with at least four songs that you can start today. Amen? Let's pray and ask the worship team to return. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for establishing family worship in Deuteronomy 6. Lord, I pray, or before that, Lord, I thank you that you have called us to hand down our faith to the next generation. Lord, help us to cling to that, to fight for that, to elbow out the time diligently and deliberately for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, thanks so much for watching online. I hope that this message has inspired you to greater faith, has encouraged you, maybe convicted or challenged you. We're grateful to be able to provide this content to you online, live and on demand. If you haven't done so already, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on YouTube so that we can get this content right to you as soon as we upload it. But you know, we believe that as a follower of Jesus Christ, that you need the body of Christ. You need the local church. And so if you're in the Quad Cities, let me invite you to personally join us in person for our gatherings on Sundays at 9 a.m. and 10:40. If you're not in the Quad Cities, I want to encourage you to go find a local church that teaches the Bible, that serves the community, that loves Jesus, that gives grace. Well, hey, thanks again for watching, and we hope that you were blessed.